Would you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 19, please? Luke chapter 19, page 852 in those red Bibles in the back of the pew. In a few moments, we are going to have communion. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And the way that we do that, we ask you to come down this aisle. So if you're seated over here, just go to the back and come down this aisle. Cup your hands. When you get to me, I will tear off a piece of bread and drop it into your hands. Go ahead and eat it, and then take the juice cup and drink it, and then you can return to your seats. So if you are a follower of Jesus, you are invited to participate in communion with us here today. Well, we have been following Luke. We've been going through the book of Luke. And looking at his story of Jesus. And lately, we've been talking about stories of sight. Last week, we looked at the disciples. There's a couple verses there that the disciples who have been following Jesus, hanging out with him for 3 years, but they couldn't really see who he was all about, who Jesus really is. And then the very next story was about a blind man, guy who couldn't see, but yet he knew and saw who Jesus really was and was crying out to Jesus for healing. And when Jesus had the man come over, he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the guy says, "I want to see." And Jesus healed the man. Today we're going to see a story about a guy who heard that Jesus was coming to town but was not able to see him. But then he positions himself to get a better view. Then something miraculous happens, something very surprising happens. So let's look at Luke chapter 19. I'm stumbling over my words. I don't know why, because I was just sitting there thinking, I said, man, I get to talk about this story. What a blessing that God has given me to really to just kind of unpack God's word and to share what the Spirit has put. I get excited about doing this. I'm scared to death about standing up here doing it, but I get excited. I count it a privilege. So we get to look at this amazing story today. So before we jump into it, let's pray, all right? Father God, we need you. Lord, too often we just say that and we sing it. And then we go off and do our own thing and we don't need anybody. We can live life on our own and Lord, deep down, we know we need you. And so, Lord, as we dig into the scriptures today, would you show us specifically the areas of our life, the specific areas of our life that we do need you? And may we turn them over to you so that you can bring healing and wholeness and completeness to our life, like Jesus promised us. We ask this in his name. Amen. All right. So, here we go. Luke chapter 19. Many of you know this story. Let's just try and break away from all the things that we learned in Vacation Bible School about this guy and the songs that we sang. Okay, let's look at it afresh. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. And he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. May God bless the reading of his word. You know, because I like to hike, from time to time, I will see articles as they come across them on Facebook or even in my email. And it'll be entitled something along the lines of what to do if you are out hiking and you get lost. Gives you some advice, right? Now, where I usually go hiking, that's not a big deal. I usually go Shenandoah National Park. You can get lost, but you really can't get lost, right? Just walk down the mountain and you'll be found. You know, that's pretty much it. But, you know, these articles will tell you, hey, listen, if you're going out hiking somewhere, first of all, you should always tell somebody the area where you're going and when you're expected to come out and stuff like that. But if it tells you, if you get lost, if you know you're lost, don't keep walking around, okay? Don't keep wandering around. Do what you can to make yourself stand out. If you can find a clearing somewhere, maybe take something bright out of your backpack and spread it out to make yourself visible from the air. Maybe you make an SOS symbol if it's safe. Make a fire, you know, so the smoke can go up, stuff like that. Well, that's what you do if you're lost in the wilderness. But what do you do if you feel lost in life? Now, here's what I mean by that. What do you do as you go through life? What do you do if the things that used to bring you joy and happiness and satisfaction just don't seem to be working anymore? What do you do? We can talk about the story, and we see the obvious one is the materialism, right? And Zacchaeus had all these things. He was wealthy, but there was something inside that just wasn't working for him, and so he sought out Jesus. But what if it is? What if it's your marriage? What if it's dealing with children, raising children? What if it's your job at work? Or your health? See, let's admit it here. Life is hard. Life is really difficult. And sometimes we can get lost looking for satisfaction, looking for peace, looking for fulfillment. And sometimes all we get is just everyday monotony. In our story today, Zacchaeus essentially does something that a person in the law who's lost in the woods needs to do, and that is he makes himself findable. There's a crowd in the way. He wants to see Jesus. There's a crowd in the way. He's short. He can't see Jesus. But rather than stay buried in the crowd, in the back of the crowd, or just give up, he runs ahead and climbs a tree and puts himself in a position to see Jesus when he passes. He makes himself findable. If you're lost in the woods and you know that somebody is searching for you, your job is not to go searching for them. Your job is to put yourself in a position where you can be found. So let's look at this story, how can we make ourselves findable? Now, I'm going to skip over the first one. You can fill it in. It's embrace the pain. I'm not going to talk about that because I realize we got communion and my sermon was getting long. So if you want to know what that is, you can ask me later, but we're just going to say embrace the pain and move on to the second one, okay? We want to imagine that. Think about Zacchaeus' mindset here. Why is he running after Jesus? He has everything. He has everything he could have wanted in life. He's got money, position, power, yet he's still empty. There's still something that is gnawing at him deep down inside. He hears about this guy Jesus coming to town. He's heard the stories. He's heard the rumors about Jesus. Maybe this guy Jesus could give him some hope for this condition that he had, for this unfulfillment that he had, because he knows maybe Jesus, what he offers can fill him up from what he's missing. And so he decides to try and see Jesus. The only problem, he gets to the party late, right? He's late to the parade. All the good spots are taken. So you can imagine Zacchaeus, man, I want to see this guy. He starts pushing his way through the crowd. You know, that's what we would, you know, people do that. When you want to get to the front, you start pushing your way through the crowd. But what do you think people are going to do when they see the guy next to him pushing is Zacchaeus? Perfectly timed elbow. Boom. Right to head level. Right, Paige? Right there, man. It's just like, bam. Oh, sorry. Well, not sorry. Jesus, you know. So he's not going to get through. Right now, he's got a choice that he has to make at that point. I'm not going to get through. So he can just say, well, he's probably just a fraud like all the others that have come through town. Messiahs were pretty popular. So, you know, wannabe messiahs were pretty popular. This guy's probably just a fraud like the rest of them. Or he can get creative. How can I get to see this guy, right? Remember point two from last week? We talked about how badly do you want to see? How badly do you want a changed life? Zacchaeus wanted it badly enough. And so here's another way to make yourself findable, and that is to follow that yearning inside. To follow it, not to push it away, not to ignore it. But Zacchaeus was sick and tired of being sick and tired. He was sick and tired of his life the way that it was, and he wanted to change. In the same way, the Holy Spirit, this is what's cool. Whenever you have that feeling, here's what's cool. The Holy Spirit sometimes awakens us to want that change. That gnawing that we have inside that keeps bothering us, that something is missing, a lot of times that is the Holy Spirit. Check out this verse, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It says this, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him." This gives us the idea that sometimes the desire for change itself may be evidence that God is already working in us. That's kind of neat. Zacchaeus's desire to see Jesus, it didn't just come out of nowhere. God was stirring something inside of him, and Zacchaeus just followed it. And we must do the same. Follow that yearning desire inside. That makes us findable. So here's Zacchaeus, this wealthy guy, pretty important, he's a chief tax collector. But we see him in our story. The story tells us that he's running down the road. Now, here's the thing about Middle Eastern men. They don't run in public, okay? Because you're wearing that long garment. You're trying to run in that long garment, like running in the bathrobe, maybe. That's, you know, it's just not. So what do you have to do? You have to gird your loins sort of thing, right? And then you start running, and it just looks silly. And so that's why they don't run in public, except Zacchaeus. It says he ran ahead, right? And he climbs a tree like a little kid. But if he wants to see Jesus, if he wants hope for a new life, you can't be worrying about what everybody else thinks, can you? And so another way to make yourself findable is this: get over yourself. Get over yourself. Sometimes coming to see Jesus means we need to be willing to look foolish in the eyes of the rest of the world. You see, that's why humility is such a big deal in the Christian faith. Philippians 2:6 says this about Jesus. Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Jesus gave up his position, his power, his glory of heaven to come down to earth and serve us. He is our example of humility. when the disciples were with Jesus and they start feeling pretty good and Jesus was pretty powerful and they start thinking ahead like, man, when Jesus is ruling, I want to be right next to him. I want to help you rule. And so they asked Jesus, can we have these positions of power? And Jesus pretty much said, man, you got to get over yourself. Because the kingdom of God is not like that. You know what? Here's the deal. When you follow Jesus, there's no such thing as saving face. It's a big thing out in the world, right? You got to save face. No, not if you're a follower of Jesus. You don't have a reputation to uphold. You don't have a public image, public persona that you need to present. That's not in the kingdom. Sometimes getting over ourselves means we publicly tell people, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Be unashamed about that. Sometimes getting over ourselves means I'm going to get baptized. I don't want to go up there because, you know, I'm going to stand in front of everybody and get wet. You got to get over that. That's what Jesus told us to do. Sometimes it means getting over ourselves means that we confess our sins one to another, to a trusted person. To be willing to confess our sins to other people. Sometimes getting over ourselves means we need to be willing to apologize and to forgive other people. Sometimes getting over ourselves means we're going to be willing to clean the toilets here at the church. When we live with humility, we get over ourselves, and it becomes easier for God to find us. So Zacchaeus climbs this tree because he knows that Jesus, Zacchaeus climbs the tree, and before he knows it, Jesus sees him. And he calls him by name, which I always thought, how did Jesus know what his name was? Wearing a name tag. Hello, my name is Zacchaeus. Hey, come on down. Did Zacchaeus have that bad of a reputation that everybody knew who he was? Or did Jesus just know? You see, the surprise of this story is that before Zacchaeus sees Jesus, Jesus sees Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus climbs the tree because he wants to see Jesus, but he never imagined that Jesus was looking for him and invites himself over to his house. And Luke brings out a significant point here for us to remember, and that is Jesus already sees us. So let's listen for his invitation. Another way to make ourselves findable is to listen for Jesus's invitation to us. Very famous verse, Revelation 3:20, Jesus is speaking and he says this, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Folks, we live in a noisy, busy world. And sometimes we can get so busy, we can get so wrapped up in our own world and living life, we forget a major truth of Scripture, that God is pursuing us. God is chasing us down. And Jesus is constantly inviting us into a deeper relationship with Him, and we need to stop and listen from time to time. So let's imagine Jesus is at Zacchaeus' house. What do? When you go to somebody's house, you kind of comment on everything. All the decorations look good. Looking at asking about his family. Zacchaeus, tell me about your family. I like this picture here. Where is that? You took a trip somewhere, you know? Then you talk about small talk. Zacchaeus, how do you think the Jerusalem Steelers are going to do this year? Yeah. But I wonder how Zacchaeus felt having Jesus in his fancy house. I wonder if he started feeling guilty about having this super holy man who talked about doing stuff for the poor in his house. And you wonder if the guilt and the shame began to just kind of float to the top. And I know that Jesus took the time to tell Zacchaeus, God loves you. God has a plan for you, Zacchaeus. God is waiting for you to ask for forgiveness. God will forgive you. God wants to have a relationship with you, Zacchaeus. He didn't have to point fingers. And then Zacchaeus responds, verse 8, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Holy cow. What a statement. But Zacchaeus finally found what he was looking for. He found acceptance. He found forgiveness. He found that joy and that peace that he'd been looking for that causes him to just shout out and publicly commit to changing his life and leading a different lifestyle. He's not going to get rich by ripping people off anymore. And so another step to making ourselves findable is to be willing to sacrifice. Jesus said, one of the classic statements of Jesus when he called people to discipleship, he said, if anyone would come after me, he said, let him deny himself and take up his cross. That's the sacrifice. And follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will what? Find it. If you want to be found by Jesus, it involves denying ourselves. It involves doing things for other people. Visiting people who need visited, or making a phone call, or sending a text, or sending a card, or baking something, or creating something, or joining a ministry team, whether it's in the church or out in the community, doing things for other people. It's amazing that when we begin to serve others, Jesus finds us. Remember a few weeks ago, we had the story of this rich guy, this rich young ruler guy, who came to Jesus and said, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, you know the commandments? And he listened, and the man said, oh man, I've done this since I was young. And Jesus said, oh, one thing you lack. Remember what he said? Sell everything you have and give to the poor. And the man went away sad because he was wealthy. And here we have another story about a rich guy, don't we? But Jesus puts no such demands on him. There's no, hey, you gotta quit your job, sell everything you have, come follow me. Jesus doesn't say any of that. I think maybe Zacchaeus goes back into his existing life, maybe as a tax collector, but he's a changed man. He's going to operate a little bit differently. He repents, he atones for his past behavior, and he makes restitution. And sometimes following Jesus means you leave everything behind. Sometimes following Jesus means you go back to the same job, the same family, the same neighborhood, the same relationships, and you live differently because you've intersected with Jesus. And so here's another way to make ourselves findable, is to live out your faith wherever you are. To live out your faith wherever you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says this, nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. You don't necessarily have to go somewhere else to follow Jesus or to find Jesus. You can follow him faithfully wherever you are. But because when you do, Jesus shows up. He will find you. He will find you. And maybe that's the most important thing to remember this morning. You know, we've talked about how to make ourselves findable, but in the end, you think about our story. In the end, Zacchaeus, he wasn't saved because he was a good climber, right? He was saved because Jesus stopped beneath a tree and looked up and called him by name and told Zacchaeus, I must come to your house today. Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus, but Jesus had already been looking for Zacchaeus. And that's why our story ends with the verse of Jesus saying, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And so that brings us to the table here this morning. Because this bread and this cup remind us just how far Jesus was willing to seek us and to save us. Jesus didn't just walk through Jericho looking for Zacchaeus. Jesus kept walking to Jerusalem. He kept walking to the cross. He gave his body and he shed his blood so that lost people like Zacchaeus and me and you could be found. And so we come to the table this morning. The invitation is simply this. Let yourself be found. Jesus sees you. He knows you. And he comes seeking you. And once again, Jesus invites us to come and share a meal with him. Would you bow your heads, please? And in this time of silence, as you prepare yourself for communion, what will you do this week to position yourself to be found by Jesus? Almighty God, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus, your very self, down to the earth. And his body was sacrificed. And he was killed on the cross. Jesus was our example. Lord, we thank you for his blood that was shed that covers our sins, that makes us clean and righteous as we stand before you. We thank you for that. And we thank you that you see us. We thank you that you are pursuing us. And we thank you that you have saved us. In the name of Jesus, amen.